Daniel chapter 6, a very, very famous story that will relate to each of us because we've all had things happen in our lives that make us wonder why God would allow this to happen. Sometimes things happen to friends or family or ourselves and we ask, why God? Why me? Why would bad things happen to good people? And it goes against what we're often taught, that if you're good, you're blessed. Or what goes around, comes around. But that's not what always seems to happen. Even good people suffer. Because we know that none are righteous, no, not one. However, good people in man's eyes, or even people that are made holy by Christ, are going to suffer. Even godly people suffer. People that are saved by grace, place their faith in Jesus Christ, the children of God, they suffer. Even faithful people suffer. The truth is, suffering determines your faithfulness. It's easy to be faithful when it's not hard. You want to see godly people suffer, read the Bible. And suddenly we say, oh yeah, if they suffered, maybe I should too. Today as we look at this big story, very popular name of Daniel, and focus on his most popular story. A year ago, we looked at the beginning of his life. While he was a young man, just a teenager, he and his friends were kidnapped. He was probably about 15 years old. And he took a stand of faith, and he chose not to eat of the food that was served to idols, but to honor his God, and God blessed that. At this point today, he's been in Babylon for long enough that he's served under three different kings already. He's later in his life. And by God's guidance during that time, he's interpreted king's dreams and their visions. He's interpreted writing on the wall that God had placed there. He warns kings of coming judgment and calls them to repentance. So much so, if you remember, it was a year ago, sure, you remember all my messages, that one of the kings that did not heed his warnings became what I called the werewolf. He went out to the field and had to eat like animals, and his nails grew like eagle's wings or eagle's nails. But he warned, he was used by God during this time, and he had earned respect. He remained faithful for a long time, not only to God, but to those he worked for. And he won the respect of the kings. He was one of those men that when he spoke, you listened. Why? Because he had earned that. He had proven himself by not running his mouth all the time, but speaking when God gave him word. So that, how did he get himself into that lion's den if he was so respected and such a great person? Such a godly and faithful man. So respected by the king, how do you get cast into the lion's den? Well, I'm glad you asked. So in Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 1. It pleased Darius, that's the king, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and a king thought to set him over the whole realm. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us first. I thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word, Lord. I ask that you'd give me the words to say, that we would honor your word, that each one of us would be called to faithfulness, that we would enjoy fellowship with you even during suffering, that we can see you would receive glory. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us first. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You see here that Daniel was a good man. Daniel's a type of employee you'd want working for you. He's the type of guy you'd be like, I wish I had 10 more of you. He was faithful. And his faithfulness was recognized. He sat in a high position, as we read just now, over all the leaders of the nations under this kingdom. He was elevated to only 3 presidents that would hold them accountable. And of those 3 presidents, Daniel was in charge. Daniel's the man, isn't he? All others must answer to Daniel. Those other 2 presidents, all the princesses that were under that king, leaders of all those places under the king's authority. And in verse Daniel, we saw Daniel was, verse 3, we saw Daniel was preferred. He's favored. He's trusted. Daniel's the guy. He's the man. Daniel's faithfulness is seen. He was the best at his job. You know why? Here's how you become the best at your job. Daniel wasn't working for that king. He was working for the Lord. His life was all about the Lord. Colossians 3:23 tells us, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Can you imagine our mindset being changed to this? That everything I do is not to impress people, but to impress the Lord, to honor the Lord. When our teens and our kids go to school, they're not trying to impress mom and dad, not trying to impress the teacher, but saying, Lord, I want you to be glorified through my schoolwork. Now, when you wake up tomorrow to go to work, that you don't go, oh, I can't stand my boss. I work with a bunch of clowns. I say that every day. Just kidding, no. But I can get up in the morning, and you can get up in the morning and say, Lord, no matter what I feel about my job, I'm going to do it for you. Would that change our attitude? Change our direction? Change the reputation we carry? 1 Corinthians 10:31, I quote it all the time, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Every area of my life. You got chores you got to do? That your parents gave to you? Oh. And if I'm doing it to the Lord, maybe it'd be like, oh. You mean the one that gave his life for me? Yeah. That changes my view. See, Daniel's work was for the Lord. He wanted to honor God in every area of his life. He was faithful to his work. He wasn't finding ways to avoid work. Some people work harder avoiding work than they would to just do their work, huh? Pretty creative sometimes. Daniel wasn't skipping out, calling in sick every time he felt like it. He was faithful to be in there. He did it in verse 3, about halfway through, he says he did it with an excellent spirit. Can that be said of us? After a day of work, man, Ron is sure pleasant to work with today. He was encouraging. He motivated. He pushed us. Can that be said of you? See, what this is of Daniel is that his problems and his frustrations did not dictate his attitude. He may deal with mean people, but he wasn't the mean one. Yeah? Can I get a yee-haw something? Romans 12:17 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. It tells us, listen, Daniel probably dealt with some horrible people because of his position. Some mad leaders that were under him, man, I'd be accountable to him. But you know what? He had an excellent spirit. He wasn't mean back to him. He may have had the opportunity to take advantage of someone, to cheat someone, to be mean to someone, But he was driven by the Spirit of God, not by his flesh. Talk to someone today about this very thing. You know when someone's getting at you, you know what your flesh makes you do? Clench the fist. Yeah, anybody? No, y'all a bunch of godly people, right? Amen. Your flesh makes you clench the fist, and your mind starts working. You know what I could do? My first one's going to be that uppercut, follow the left. And then the Spirit of God gets a hold of you. You know what it tells you to do? Bless them. His flesh goes this, and the Spirit of God says, bless you. Can I pray for you? Bring it in. Right? See the difference in the flesh and the spirit? Daniel was recognized because of his excellent spirit. That's tough. Come on, man. Now you make me curious, see? Oh. I thought I could make him sick right now. I'm like, you see here, Daniel was controlled by the spirit. He would not have choked him. Maybe. Anyway. But understand, Daniel was patient here. He hasn't just earned this reputation overnight. Daniel was a faithful man. He wasn't a kid anymore or a teen. He came to Babylon about the age of 15 when he started being faithful and served under these three kings. But you know how old he is now? He's about 80 years old. Most believe in the mathematical, and because of the time outline of the kings and everything, he was 81 years old. It took him years to build this reputation. It took him years to be faithful that people noticed. Now, he wasn't doing it to be noticed. He wasn't doing it for you to recognize him. He was doing it to honor the Lord. And what automatically happens, it gets noticed. And he honored the Lord. You and I need to quit expecting people to see us the way we want them to see us. Because they're going to see us the way they see us. We need to live for the Lord and be faithful to the Lord. And in his timing, he will change the way people view us, if that's his will. But when you live in a way that honors them, you don't worry about this view. This view changes on its own. Daniel's life was about honoring God. Living for God, having that excellent spirit. And because of Daniel's faithfulness, the king plans to promote Daniel. We saw it in verse 3. He was already way up there with the three presidents. The three leaders that everybody had to be accountable to. And now the king wants to let him rule over all the land, giving Daniel complete authority under the king. What does this cause when you get a promotion? No, there was no office party for Daniel. There was not a bunch of high fives and gifts waiting for him in the office. It created much anger. It created jealousy. The attitudes, well, why does he deserve that? He's only been doing it for 65 years. Right? We know that jealousy can take place because we look at others and we see the jealousy because we don't see jealousy in ourselves, do we? We justify our own attitude. We have reason for our own jealousy. But search me, O God, to know my heart. But see, that's what happens here. He's going to get promoted and jealousy and anger comes in. And we have seen that Daniel was a good, godly person, a man of God who demonstrated God's spirit. And we're going to see the second thing here is bad things happen to good people. And you could add on to that with a purpose. We've seen Daniel's goodness. But just because you do good does not mean everyone loves you. God allows his people to suffer because often suffering just reflects Jesus Christ. We've talked about this many times. You cannot reflect Jesus Christ without suffering because the life of Christ was all suffering. It was hardship. But we can suffer with joy. We can suffer with purpose. Look at verse 4. Down to verse 4. What happened when he was going to be promoted? Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Imagine having people digging through your life, trying to find trash that they can make accusations of you. That's Daniel's life right now. These angry and jealous leaders are doing just that. They're digging through, trying to, probably going around interrogating anybody Daniel's ever talked to, grew up with, made a joke with, trying to find something. And they came up empty. There's nothing we can make fun of him about. There's nothing we can take to the king and say, "Look, he ain't that good." Would this be said of you and I? How easy would it be to make an accusation of me? I got places I'd rather you never go and ask about me. I sure wish I had the reputation that you could talk to anybody that's ever known me and they'd be like, "Ron, all I know is he loves the Lord. I think he has a halo." Don't ask my wife. You see, 1 Peter 2:15 tells us, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We should want to live lives of faithfulness, an attitude of godliness, and that our lives should answer for themselves. You and I shouldn't have to defend ourselves. "No, I am a godly person." Well, if you have to fight about it, "Oh, I love Jesus. I am too a Christian." We shouldn't have to do that. Our lives should speak for themselves. But 1 Peter, he goes on there in the next chapter, in chapter 3, he says, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." When people make a false accusation of you and your life contradicts their mouth, guess who's ashamed? They would be. And understand that if you're right with God and that you can stand without, you stand in clear conscience with him, there will be one day, because he knows your heart, he knows your love, that he will speak to those accusers and they will be ashamed before him as well. Let us live lives as Daniel, that they can't accuse us without being ashamed of their accusations. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Being a faithful servant of God should be the desire of our life, our reputation, greater than any earthly accomplishment, any earthly title we can pursue, would be known as a faithful servant of God. And this was Daniel, a good man with a good name. They couldn't find anything against him. And notice in verse 5, they're like, "We know how to get him now. We know how we're going to accuse him." The end of verse 5 says, "Except we find it against him concerning the law of God." They knew the only way they were going to hurt Daniel's reputation, his name, is to attack his relationship with Christ. That's the only way we can be hurt. Is when someone attacks our relationship with God. Look what they do in verse 6. "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions.'" I don't know about you. Every time I read that, I gag a little bit. They're such suck-ups. I don't know what term you want to use. Kiss-ups, brown-nosers, you know. Got to get points with the king. You knew those in school, didn't you? They'd say anything to make the teacher like them and pick them and choose them. Bring the apple on the teacher's table. I don't know if they actually do that, but there was different stuff. See, the only way they could attack Daniel here was to attack his faith, to attack his worship, to attack his praise. They knew he couldn't handle going without worship. Do you hear that? They knew Daniel could not handle going without a time of worship. They knew he loved his God and would break this law. They knew that he would not stop praying. Imagine having such a strong character that they knew you would be faithful to God no matter what. That if something was scheduled during church time, you'd have been like, no, not me. They knew that about Daniel. They knew his life. They would test Daniel's faith, his commitment to God. And these men approached the king with this plan, sucking up with this, oh, king, you're the best. You deserve this. Catch that? Anyway, here's the law, king, that we would like you to pass. And we would like 30 days to simply honor you and recognize you. So anyone caught worshiping or praying or recognizing any god other than you, King Darius, because often the kings are made into gods, if anyone worship any god other than you, we'll cast him into the den of lions. We're going to make life hopeless for them. This wasn't just some punishment. This was a guaranteed death. And in verse 9 we see, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. The king got suckered by some fancy words. Be careful with philosophy and vain conversation. Be careful with the ones that know the right words to say. And I always tell the young ladies, be careful for smooth talkers that know how to take advantage of you and get what they want out of you. Know how to make you feel special and pretty and get the goosebumps until they get what they want from you. We see here, King did something he's going to regret. He signed into law something that would hurt somebody that he loves. If Daniel obeys this law, he would have to stop praying for 30 days. Think about this. Daniel would have to stop praying for 30 days. He'd stop worshiping for 30 days. Now, let's personalize that a little bit, can we? How long could you handle going without fellowship with God? Think that through a little bit. How long would you go without intimate, personal, in-the-closet prayer with God? I don't mean a general time for a lunchtime. I mean an intimate time of kneeling down before the Lord and crying with Him and celebrating with Him. How long could you go? How long has it been? How long could you go without diving into God's Word and listening to His voice? I don't mean because somebody's reading it to you or that someone on the radio said a verse. I mean that you dug in and listened to the Lord speak to you. How long could you go? How long could you go without busting out into praise and worship? You ever been walking through work? And all of a sudden, not even notice what you're doing, and you're singing a praise song to the Lord, and somebody looks at you like, what you doing? I shared with it before. You guys got to warn me before you walk in the church building because you never know what you're going to hear. You know you're going to find me barefoot. If you've come in, you know you're going to find me barefoot. Anybody notice that, right? Yeah, that's just how it is. Usually I'm here by myself, so I kick the shoes off, and it's a good day. But hopefully you don't catch me singing because that's hurtful, okay? But you know what? How long can you go without busting out into praise? What that means is I've been meditating on the things of God, the work of God. I've been thinking about my blessings. I've been thinking about my salvation. And all I can do is, Lord, I lift your name on high. Well, that's an oldie, isn't it? Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. When's the last time that you just couldn't help all by yourself, just busting out of praise? Daniel's put on a spot here. How long can he go? See, the depth of our love for Jesus is shown in our intimacy and our obedience to him. And we'll see here now the faithfulness during this trouble. Because we're called to be faithful during the trouble. Our faith is seen during the hard times. When we don't know what the outcome is going to be. When we fear what our faith or our obedience is going to cause. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Notice a few things there. He knew the law was signed. He knew by doing what he was about to do could cost him his life. But also notice that as he did aforetime, he wasn't just rebelling against King. You said I can't do it. Well, I'm going to do it now. He's always done this. It's a regular practice. He has a regular committed fellowship with God. It's a regular act of worship for him. This is authentic intimacy. He looks forward to that time. I get to go home. I'm going to open the window so I can look out at the city of God, where the temple of God will be. I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time meditating on his word. He looks forward to it. The windows were open. He knelt down towards Jerusalem, again, not to show off, but he did this aforetime so that he can look out at the city of God. This was not a hidden prayer. He wasn't ashamed of his relationship with God. He would not deny God before man. He did not have, and I've shared with you before, the BBC prayer. On the Baptist Bible College, we call it the BBC prayer. At a lunch table, you drop your napkin on the floor, dear Jesus, bless his food, amen. You do that, don't you, at McDonald's? No. See, Daniel wasn't ashamed that you know he's praying to his God. He let his windows continue to be open. He didn't hide his relationship with God. Your relationship with the Lord should not be secret. It's personal, but it's not private. Now understand, he arrived at the age of 15, as we talked about. He wanted to honor God right off the bat when he got there. Now about 80 years old, he continues his normal fellowship with God. And notice one more thing in verse 10. He says, he prayed and, see what else he did? He prayed and, Someone said it. Gave thanks. He prayed and gave thanks before his God. They just passed the law. He's probably about to die. He probably knows they got spies watching him. He probably knows they're gunning for him. He probably knows they hate him. That's assumption. But he's still thankful. God, you're pretty awesome to me. You know, if you feel like you got nothing else to do, you still can give thanks. If your life is falling apart, you can still be thankful. Even during this testing, these trials, these hard times, this persecution, Daniel was thankful. You and I can be thankful for the privilege to have a relationship with the Almighty God. No matter what you're going through, what suffering, what struggles, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But as you can imagine, Daniel's enemies are happy now. They had spies watching him, if we continue reading more and more. And so they're seeing what he's doing, that he's continuing to be faithful, and he's praying to his God. And now, paint this picture here. They're watching Daniel. They see him bow down and pray and worship and praise. How would that affect them in seeing a serious relationship with God? And let me tell you this and promise you this. There's people watching your life. And they're watching you pray and sing and praise. But do they see that at church and at home and at work? Or do they see hypocrisy? Do they see a fake Christianity? See, Daniel, they saw his life. They saw the consistency is what we want to have. And so now as they spied on him, he's violated the law which the king signed. Now they can eliminate Daniel. They can kill the one that was supposed to be promoted and made him jealous. And so what they do, they go running to the king. And here's the thing, the king loved Daniel. So this is going to hurt the king. And the king fretted, but there was no choice because verse 8 tells us that this law cannot be changed. That's why they put the fine print in the laws, that it could not be changed. And look at verse 16, what happened. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. No one could rescue him. See, Daniel didn't fight back. He didn't resist. He accepted a punishment. He knew what they were going to do. But you know what? Fellowship with God was worth the suffering. Fellowship with God was worth the suffering. Daniel's faithfulness to God made an impact on that king. If you notice, when they put him down in a den, the king shouted down to him in verse 16, thy God whom thou servest continually, consistently, faithfully, he said, he will deliver thee. See, the king has seen Daniel's faith in God. He's seen God provide and protect Daniel multiple times. And now he's encouraging Daniel, hey, keep the faith in that God that you believe in. Don't let this hurt you. Trust your God. But Daniel is now locked in a huge hole with starving lions. And I think that Daniel believed what Paul penned 1,500 years later. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think Daniel knew that God was going to use this somehow, and he trusted God. That God can use our tragedies, our hurt, our suffering for his glory and for our good. It's the reason he lets his people suffer. So that we can honor him, represent him, be conformed to him, be his ambassadors. You and I will suffer. We will hurt. What we're going to see now, the last point, is bad used for good. We're already seeing some of the good. The king believed Daniel's God. He believed by faith, not by faith and submission, by observation. The king watched and he believed, man, there's something about this. But he hadn't chosen to submit to this God yet. He hasn't placed faith in God yet. But he knows God's power and goodness and love by watching Daniel's life. And the king was worried about Daniel. If we were to read all the verses, probably blaming himself for signing this bill, knowing what he was doing. And he went home, the scripture says, and he couldn't sleep all night. He was restless, pacing around. He tried to call music in, and it didn't console him because he loved Daniel. And the next morning, he went running to the den. Now understand, this is a humble thing for a king to do. They don't run. But I see this guy pulling up that robe and running to the den. Not sure what he'd see. Probably because of his worry all night, he's like, it's going to be a gory mess down there. Today, they'd pull out a selfie or a camera to take a picture, right? This king is running, not sure, oh no. I don't know what I'm going to see. I know I said the right things to Daniel yesterday. But those lions are hungry. We do this punishment regularly. It's not like they created this punishment for Daniel. This was used regularly. But look at verse 20. When he, that is the king, came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Stop right there for just a second. You can see his voice didn't have the faith. I don't have hope. It's a lamentable voice of, you ever had that broken voice of you want to cry, but you're not supposed to? I'm sure this king is approaching that den like, I'm trying to have hope here. And he continues, look at this. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Now here's the freak out moment. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. See, the king didn't have faith. He had observable faith. He saw power. He saw goodness. Saw love. But no, that's not for me. That's not for me. But he came and he yells down to David or Daniel. Daniel, what's going on? Please speak to me. I don't think you can. And you see the opportunity here? You see the opportunity you and I have, even in suffering? When you go through hard times or even persecution? Did Daniel say, hey, I'm good. I can handle this. No. What did he draw attention to right away? Did you catch that? He said, my God sent an angel. And he shut the lion's mouth. This is unheard of. See, the opportunity here in our suffering is to remain faithful and be able to present a testimony of the work of a living God. Not just the idea of a living God, but listen, the living God has worked for me. And in a time of suffering is when you can best represent the Lord and show his goodness, his love, his mercy, his grace. And verse 23 tells us Daniel was taken up and there was no harm to him. He was perfectly fine. Now I shared in Sunday school that on our vacation, we went to a place there was buffalo everywhere. Our car was in the middle of a pack of about 30 of them. They literally surrounded us. It was awesome. Then we're at a part that probably had 100. No, I keep saying buffalo. It's bison. I know. I'm sorry. But about 100. It's just incredible. And at one point, I looked and I said, you know, if one of these get upset at us right now, they could flip our car in a heartbeat. They could hurt us bad. Daniel was thrown down into a hole with starving lions. We're going to see that in just a minute. And it was an opportunity to say, don't worry, see, God protected me completely. God provided to me. I felt the comfort of God. I felt the peace of God. I trust the work of God. When we go through suffering, that's our testimony. If we walk in faithfulness, see, God is good to where he could share his testimony. He could point to God again, but there's more. Look at more goodness. This is the gory part. Look at verse 24. And a king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Those who tried to hurt the man of God, those that grabbed Daniel, made a law to kill Daniel and their families, were punished by the king. It's normal practice that he would kill the whole family because the kids would come back for revenge in the future otherwise. But those men and their entire families were cast into the same den with the same lions, and before their bodies hit the ground, the scripture says that they were crushed and all their bones were broken before they hit the bottom of the den. You think those lions are hungry? Well, you can't eat when an angel's holding your mouth shut. And that's a testimony of Daniel. And he says, my God sent an angel. And they're saying, yeah, right. You put the lions asleep or something. And they threw the other people in and said, oh, your God is powerful. Your God is strong. The people saw that this was a work of God. That God had protected this man, Daniel, punished the wicked. And in verse 26, it keeps going. There's more and more blessings from suffering of a believer. Look at verse 26. The king speaks here. He says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. See, the king established that all his kingdom would now honor Daniel's God. That they would tremble, having a fear of the Lord, placing God in his righteous position. Why? Because the king realized this is, in his words, the living God. He's not carved from some rock. He's not carved from some wood. He is the living God. He continues, because he is steadfast forever. He lives forever. He recognized this God is eternal. This king, because of Daniel's testimony, realized also that his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, because the kingdom of God is eternal. He goes on, that his dominion shall be even unto the end. The king realized that the God of Daniel will not be dethroned, will not be defeated. So he says, my kingdom will submit to that God. Sorry, Holly. Yeah, I know. And he didn't budge. You see how God uses suffering for good? Does all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose? See, coming to this, the king calls all to worship. Daniel remained faithful when trouble came. He testified to God in the midst of trouble, and God received the glory. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter 3, and we're going to close just reading a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 3. What does God want from us? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Obedience when it's easy, obedience when it's hard. First Peter chapter 3, go down to verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This should be the desire of our lives, not for easy lives, but for godly lives. The desire of our lives should not be contentment. in worldly things and happiness and riches and health, but that God received the glory through my life. That we could honor the one that created us, that we would honor the one that saved us, that we could honor the one whose name is above all names. We could honor the one who has eternity ready for those who call upon the name of Jesus. So even in suffering, we have the opportunity to fulfill our purpose, to honor Him, to make Him known. When you go through suffering and hard times, it's an opportunity to represent Christ as ambassadors of Christ. Would you stand with me? I'm going to close in just a simple hymn that we are familiar with, just two verses. That what we are called to do? Trust and obey. Not when it's easy, but consistently in our lives. At Daniel, at the age of 15, was more man than many of us are. When he said, I will not eat what is served to idols. And so he lived off. Again. So if you do that again, if you keep faithful to your God, you will die. And you remain faithful. And all he got to witness in his faithfulness was the work of God, the goodness of God. We're called to trust and obey. Let's sing together.